In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In C.S. Lewis' Voyage of the Dawn Treader, the fifth book in the Narnia series, the protagonist, Prince Caspian, and the two younger Pevensey children, Edmund and Lucy, go on a seafaring voyage for the entirety of the book in order to find the seven lost lords of Narnia. And on the course of their adventures, they drop anchor at a series of islands in the Eastern Sea, each with its own accompanying sort of madcap adventure along the way. And as you get about halfway through the novel, chapter 12, you have a chapter entitled The Dark Island. The ship is sailing through clear waters when it sees something on the horizon. The sailors think that it is an island. They begin to approach, but the closer and closer they get, they realize that what they saw was not an island, but a darkness that begins to encompass them. The sky disappears, the sun, the clouds, and even the sea. Soon they have no bearings, and they realize that they are trapped. They cannot decide for themselves which way to turn in order to flee from this darkness. It's so total, so all-encompassing. In this darkness, the following scene unfolds, and I quote, "Lucy, the youngest, leans her head on the edge of the mast and whispers, 'Aslan, Aslan, if you ever loved us at all, send us help now.' The darkness did not grow any less, but she began to feel a little, a very, very little, better. And then there was a tiny speck of light ahead, and while they watched, a beam of light fell on the ship. Lucy looked along the beam and presently saw something in it. At first, it looked like a cross, and then like an airplane, and then like a kite. And at last, with a whirring of wings, it was right overhead. It was an albatross. It called out in a strong, sweet voice, with what seemed to be words, though no one understood them, no one except Lucy, who knew that as it circled the mast, it had whispered to her, 'Courage, dear heart,' and the voice, she felt sure, was Aslan's." Epiphany. The word comes from a verb literally meaning I shine upon or I appear to. Today we commonly use the word to describe the sensation of discovery or realization, a sort of light bulb going off. Aha. If you're anything like me, you treasure those moments, both in your personal and your professional life. The inbreaking of clarity, the snap of focus in what was previously foggy, the insight which eluded your grasp now solidly in the grasp of your hand, it's refreshing for its rarity. And I think what we forget in our desire to pursue this clarity and revelation is that these things, the power of this experience only has its potency because it's often preceded by a long period of darkness or confusion or disorientation. Think about the Magi that we read today. They set out from the east to follow a star, and while I'm sure that they had some concrete form of celestial navigation available to them, I think we're used to seeing an image from the movies, a sort of Cecil B. DeMille star that's practically a Las Vegas neon sign saying, "This way to Jesus, the Son of God," you know? Instead, I think their journey was probably a lot more frustrating and uncertain. Travel by night through the desert and mountains, field and fountains, you know the song. And it's not like they'd received a detailed primer beforehand telling them exactly where they were going and who they were going to meet and what purpose their trip served. And so they set out into the unknown amidst cloudy nights when the star perhaps disappears for a period of time, or waiting during the daytime, wondering if the star would reappear and continue to guide them. Their journey must have at times seemed endless, when the star was not as clearly visible as they might have hoped, and they must have at times felt lost, alone, and even foolish for having undertaken this journey. Again, both the film adaptations we see of the Nativity and the Epiphany, and even the Gospel's narrative, make it seem almost as if the star had come enabled with Siri, giving them turn-by-turn navigation all the way to Bethlehem. With this in mind, then, the Magi, for me, are a striking image of what it means to live a life of faith. How often do we have dry periods in our life when we don't hear God's voice? When it feels like our prayers come back to us with "return to sender" stamped on them? If we're honest, really, really honest about what it means to live a life of committed discipleship, we have to acknowledge that there are periods in our lives when we whisper like Lucy Pevensey, "Lord, if you ever loved me, send me help now." I've prayed that prayer word for word a few times in my life. I'd felt lost, I had no bearings, abandoned. And what I forget in retrospect is that the deliverance or survival or courage that comes, we forget that the light only comes, it only shines after a long period of darkness. That sometimes we need to hear, "Courage, dear heart," before we can get to, "Arise, shine, your light has come." For me then, the Magi are tokens of persistent hope. I think that's what faith is in its most elemental form. Putting one foot in front of the other day by day, trusting, demanding that we are not forgotten, that we have not been abandoned, and that grace and courage will meet us along the way, even if it doesn't seem like it, even if the night is dark and we've lost our bearings. And so as we begin this long Epiphany season, I hope that wherever you are in your life and in your journey of faith, you're able to carry some of this persistent hope of the Magi with you, and that you find new courage to continue in faith. Because, as we read on Christmas Day, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Amen.